chapter number 12, very familiar text. I preached from here recently, actually, but just the Lord dealt with my heart about a different angle on this text, and something I felt was needed and necessary, and hope the Lord will help us today. Hebrews chapter number 12, you've been seated a while, let's stand together, and we'll give God's word reverence and honor as we read it together, and give you a chance to stretch before your three-hour sit. There, say amen. All right. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I want you to, those two verses are iconic and legendary, even among other scripture, but you can't miss verse 3, and that's what I want to deal with. We'll be dealing with all three of these, but the subject this morning will come out of verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. And again, I know most of you know this scripture probably by memory. And so don't mute me from the start and say, well, I already know. I promise you that is a wrong mentality for any portion of God's Word. Amen. The most familiar, John 3:16, the 23rd Psalm, many, many other verses. My life's verse, Galatians 2:20. Sometimes we will just read and buzz right through scripture like that because they're so common to us. But I promise you, they are jewels that have yet to be mined, and they are promises and truths out of every word from God's Word that that God has still yet to resurrect and reveal to us. And so don't let the familiarity put you to sleep. Let's dig and mine and look for what God has to say to our hearts. I want to deal with the subject this morning, overcoming doubt and discouragement in the race of life. I believe we can do that and find help out of the three verses we read. How many of you, honestly, have ever battled discouragement? You ever been discouraged? Boy, I have. I could probably say how many of you have been discouraged this week. And this week just started this morning. We're just ripe into this new week. But discouragement is a reality. I read this and thought it was worth sharing. The Hayden, spelled just like your name, Hayden. The Hayden Planetary in New York City ran an advertisement across New York, across all the newspapers, inviting those who would like to make their first journey to another planet to submit an application. This really happened. Within a matter of days, over 18,000 people applied. Is that not insane? These applications were then given to a panel of psychologists who, upon reviewing them, concluded that the vast majority of those who applied wanted to start a new life on another planet because they were so discouraged by the life here on this one. In days, over 18,000 people said, I'll take my shot at traveling to another world, to a new planet, because this one is so discouraging. Now, you say, well, them people's crazy and lost their mind. Probably, I can give you that. However, to completely dismiss discouragement would be out of our mind, because we all deal with it. Every one of us. We know how to come into church on Sunday morning and look our best and throw our smiles on and say amen and raise our hand. But the reality this morning, I guarantee you, there's people in our presence, if not you, that are currently dealing with discouragement. And so I want to take the Word of God and help us. Discouragement is something that we all live with from time to time. It's easy for us to allow the pressures and burdens of life to overwhelm us and to cause despair. But discouragement is a killer. We can't afford to allow it to live rent-free in our life. It will drag you down. Discouragement has caused many people to drop out of church altogether. I mean, people who used to be faithful got discouraged, and that discouragement stayed and festered and grew and become more powerful, and discouragement turned into depression, and depression turned into to just getting divorced from church altogether. I know people today who were on the sideline, not serving God at all, because they started out discouraged and never dealt with it. That's a dangerous place to be. Discouragement has caused many people to get out of church. It has caused many to quit on God. Many people still in church have quit on God because of discouragement. It's caused many preachers to put their Bibles down. And I could give you the statistics this morning of how many pastors resigned their church last year and put their Bible down and went looking for another job. It is mind-blowing how many quit a year. Discouragement is real. I'll throw two big names most of you will probably have heard of. John Calvin, a preacher from yesteryear, said about his life, in addition to the immense troubles by which I am sorely consumed, there is almost no day on which some new pain or anxiety does not come. Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, had this to say about discouragement. He said, discouragement creeps over my heart and makes me go with heaviness to my work. It is dreadfully weakening. That's one of the greatest preachers, known as the Prince of Preachers. That's what he had to say about discouragement. He battled it daily. It is the way with many of God's precious servants this morning. Some in this very room are discouraged in your walk with the Lord. You're thinking about throwing the towel in, quitting. It's crossed your mind recently. It better be dealt with. And it's no accident God is delivering this to our hearts this morning. I'd like to remind all of us this morning, God did not save you so that you could live a life of discouragement. He saved you to give you a life, and life more abundantly. Life that is victorious. Life that is overcoming, not overwhelming. 2 Timothy 1:7, the Bible said, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. That verse would seem to indicate that you and I do not have to live with discouragement as our constant companion. No, you don't. I think the Bible teaches us that it is possible to win the battle over discouragement. You do not have to forfeit and just say, this is how it is. I'm discouraged, I'm down, I'm depressed, and that's just my lot in life. It don't have to be. You can overcome discouragement. Absolutely. Absolutely. God has a plan to deliver you from the debilitating effects of discouragement. So let's take a few minutes this morning with the rest of our time and look at these familiar verses, and we'll walk through them one more time. Number one, How to overcome discouragement. I believe there's three commitments out of these verses we should make. Number one, commit to a life of faithful running. A life of faithful running. He says, that going, listen, that does require something on your part. Nobody said that, God never said He would just deliver you from discouragement. No, there's things that you got to do. There's things that I have to do. There's things I'm responsible for in the race that we're running. It ain't a short race. It is a long race. It's a life race. And if you're going to run it, and if I'm going to run it, and run it at the pace that God wants me to run it, listen to me. There's requirements on my end. And the requirement number one, it requires preparation. Boy, that to come out of the gate was saying, you got to do something? What? Huh? You mean God ain't going to do it all? He can, and He does His part, but He does require you to be invested. He does require you to be involved. And listen, that's good, because if you don't pay it, well, you know what's wrong with our children today? They ain't never had to pay for anything. They ain't had to ever put any work toward it. Everything's been given to them on a silver platter. Therefore, they don't respect anything. They don't appreciate anything because they never had to work for it. They never had to invest in it. But if you remember that first car you paid for, you worked hard and sweat and saved and scrimped and scrammed and scraped to get by and finally laid the money down. I bet you didn't treat that one the way you did that free one. God knows. God knows us. And listen, He said, if you're going to run this race, I got some requirements. Number one, I require that you be prepared. I D-dog double dare any of us to go strike out on a marathon this afternoon. Because ain't a one of us been preparing for that. Now, I got some friends of mine, they could, if they needed to today, they could go out and run 26, however many miles it is. They run every day, miles and miles. I think they lost their minds. I can find something better to do than run. I mean, if a dog's chasing me, okay. If somebody's, but just to run? But we are in a race. And it ain't a sprint, it ain't a dash, it's a long distance marathon. And that kind of race takes preparation. And I could go through and give you the illustration of me being talked in to go run cross country for Broome High School. I did that. Moronically, I did that. I said I would, and in my dress shoes, I got on the bus and they took us out about 10 miles from the school and I was looking around for the track. I didn't see one. And they dumped me out, and I saw taillights. And they all began to run back to the school 10 miles. And there I was, hadn't prepped, hadn't prepared. And it didn't take me long to figure out I should have prepared. Them boys had been running all summer long preparing. And in the race of life, you'll be on the sidelines gagging and puking and out of breath and white as a ghost if you try to run this race without preparing. And it will be discouraging. But listen, the kind of race, this kind of race requires preparation. So does the spiritual race. If ye are to run well, then we must prepare properly. Listen to what the verses said. He said in verse number 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. How do I prepare? How do I prepare for this marathon that I'm running? Number one, we must free ourselves from the weight that encumbers us. Nobody that enters a race who's serious about it is going to come dressed like I'm dressed this morning. Are you hearing me? Have you ever seen anybody in a three-piece suit seriously about to race? Negative. Have you ever seen anybody at the front line of a marathon when they're about to shoot the pistol dressed like you're dressed this morning? They ain't even going to have a jacket on. They slim down and drop down and even shave themselves to loosen and lessen the resistance. And that's a fact. And there's just some things in the Christian life, on the Christian run and the Christian race that we're in, that it is going to discourage you if we don't learn. It discourages me. When we must learn. We must loosen from some things. There are some things that we've allowed to pile on in our life that have become so heavy, it makes it so hard to run this race at any length. I mean, listen, I could get JD on my back. I don't know how much you weigh. 170. I could carry 170 pounds for a little bit. And even if you got on top of him, I might could go a step or two. But I ain't running far with that much weight. And Christian after Christian, we think I'll be the exception to the rule. I'll just keep this with me and keep this in my life and keep this on me and I'll make it. Only to find you go a few steps or even a few days to find yourself discouraged, disgruntled, and ready to throw in the towel and say, I cannot do this. It's too heavy. It's too hard. But rather than doing what God says and laying aside every weight that so easily besets us, rather than setting something down, we sit down. That ain't the answer, because that only makes you more discouraged, because then no longer is it heavy and hard, but you're not making any progress. And that in and of itself is discouraging. We must learn to lay aside those things that encumber us, those things that hold us back and make it so hard to live the Christian life. I guarantee you, I'm done with this point, because I'm going to sum it all up in this one statement, and I trust the Holy Spirit to make this real to you. Are you listening? You don't just point in one statement? Let the Holy Spirit right now, right across your mind, and bring to the front of your mind what's weighing you down. You know. I don't have to preach it. I don't have to name it. You know what's heavy in your life. What's a weight in your life may not be one in mine, and what's a weight in mine may not be in yours, but you know what's heavy and what's hard in your walk with the Lord. You know what's holding you back. You know, I know mine. The problem is I like them too much to lay them down. And I know they have, and I say, I can make it even with this. Only to find out it's impossible. There's things in the Christian life that encumber us that we must lay down. These things that I'm about to list are not sin. Please understand that. I'm not saying these are sin. They ain't. They can be. They can become sin, but they're not. But I guarantee you, these are some of the weights that are being carried in here that are besetting us, making it hard, discouraging us. That little thing right there, it don't weigh much, but it's so heavy. If you don't know when to lay it down, it gets so heavy. You say, that ain't heavy. Set it down tomorrow. Set it down tomorrow and see how much your flesh craves it. Amen. Set it down tomorrow. Cut it off and set it down. Walk out of the house and see, don't you feel like, ooh, I just walked out naked. Something ain't right. I'm missing something. It's like my keys. It's become part of us. And I'm saying, though it ain't physically heavy, it is a weight that every one of us are carrying. Amen. That's way heavier than we want to admit. Okay, not only a phone, but TVs. TVs, I've heard preachers, that old green-eyed monster, bless the Lord, I've lived long enough to hear it preached against and then watch the same preachers preach on TV and encourage people to watch them. Yeah. I ain't saying TV's a sin. I am saying if you sit in front of it most of your day, not only is it a weight, but it is a heavy weight. And it does beset us. And I'll just go a step further than that. A TV to many, many people, and that phone, because a phone is just a miniature TV to most these young people. Y'all listen. So I can do without a TV. Yeah, but take their tablet or their iPad or their phone and watch them squirm. Not only have our tablets and phones and TVs become weights, but honestly, we've allowed them to become idols. That thing we set before us and bow to and watch, and it just sucks us in, and we plug into it and gotta have it. Cut it off. Set it aside and just see. Like somebody's tried to quit smoking cigarettes, or somebody's tried to quit drinking alcohol, or somebody that's quit trying to fill in the blank. See if you don't have a crave. See if ain't something inside of you that just wants it. I know this. It's proven fact, scientifically proven fact, that the endorphins in the brain crave it. That's why these people who design these things and put them out there, they don't let their children touch them, because they know. I've offered my little children, you want my belt, or you're going to take that tablet for a day? Spank me. They go into DTs and fits. I'm telling you. How many of you ever witnessed something like that? With your children? I know you ain't going to admit it about yourself, but I'm going there. If it's possible with them, it's possible with you. And it's possible with me. I'm saying absolutely without hesitation or reservation, those devices in our life have become so heavy and hard and have so much control. And if you do not believe me, set it down. Amen. What does an alcoholic say? I can quit it. My daddy would tell me, if I heard it one time from him, Brian, I heard it 100 or more. I can quit anytime I want to. Oh yeah, that's what alcoholics say. I can lay it down anytime I want to. All right, big bad boy, let's see it. Put it down. Put it down. I dare you tomorrow, lay that weight, that light weight that you say is light, and see how heavy it becomes. See how long you last. You say, but I have to have it for my GPS. Pull out a map, bless the Lord. Learn how to read a map again. But I need it for my dictionary. Learn how to use a dictionary again. You don't have to have it. We used to live without them. It wasn't that long ago. I know it would be like some kind of star had fallen out of the sky and blowed the world to smithereens for some of our children if we used to take away their devices. But the world would still go round, and life would still move on, and it would really be a blessing and a help to unplug. I didn't mean to spend that much time on that, but that's probably some of the heaviest weights we got. Hobbies, habits, hang-ups, jobs. Our job can become a weight. If you can't set it down, it's too heavy. If you can't let it loose, it's too heavy. And it will discourage you over time. Money's a heavy, heavy weight. Learn how to control money so money don't control you. Amen. That's just some. So not only do we need to free ourselves from the weight that encumbers us, but we got to free ourselves from the sin that entangles us. You say, my goodness, I thought you was going to tell us how to deal with getting over our troubles and get out of discouragement on this race of life? I am. Can't you tell? I am. Listen, don't cuss the mailman because he put it in your box. And if it ain't yours, then ship it back. But listen, I'm telling you where I've been at this morning, and this is just the beginning. We'll be here tonight too. And it gets better and it gets easier. But we got to, listen, we stay in discouraged because there's so much encumbering us and we cannot make progress. And we know we should be further along. Everybody look up here. It ain't time to pray yet. We're about to. Look up here. For a minute. I'm serious. Do you not know, and will you not admit, humbly and honestly this morning, I'm not where I should be? I'll admit that. And if I can admit that looking at all these eyeballs, surely you can admit that looking at my two little beady eyes. You ain't where you should be. We sure ain't where we could be, nor where we should be. And so I'm simply saying, why? Because there's weight. There's too much weight. And when a ship's going down, the first thing they do is start throwing stuff overboard to lighten the load. Not because they didn't think that stuff was important. Not because that stuff they didn't think would even sustain their life and their livelihood, because it did and would. But when a ship's sinking, stuff that used to be so important don't become so important. Stuff that you used to thought you couldn't live without, you learn that you can live without. And I'm saying discouragement is something that's sinking our boats. And it's time to throw things overboard. Detach from some things. And I know, I am one of you. I'm not trying to be some super spiritual saint. I deal with what you deal with. I struggle with the same flesh you struggle with. I'm a sinner just like you are. But I'm saying, if my first response, my first reaction is, oh, it ain't that bad. I could put that away. I could set that aside anytime. I could. That's how we think. And we dismiss things. And so, before I move on, I just stop and pause and simply say, can you really? If you can, prove it to yourself. Whatever the Holy Spirit brought to the forefront of your mind, it's probably one, two, or three things. Two or three weights that you know are hindering you, that are holding you back from running how God wants you to run. Two or three things that have become so heavy that you discourage even by thinking about dealing with them. Prove to yourself, starting today, I'm going to set this aside. I know I probably can, but I'm going to prove it to myself. I ain't going to touch this for a day. Start out with a day. And you'll see in 24 hours what you can and what you can't live without. Because the last thing we need to do is be dishonest with ourselves and deceive our own selves and live and believe. And we are so good at convincing ourselves how good we are. Oh, yes. Try it. Whatever the Holy Spirit brought to your mind, say, okay, Lord, that's obviously an issue. I didn't realize it, but it obviously is because you brought it to my mind. I know this is holding me back. And by the grace of God, I'm going to set it aside today. I don't know about tomorrow, but today. Okay? I promise you, that's step one. And you can't get to the rest of the good stuff until you take the medicine. So free ourselves from the weight, free ourselves from the sin that entangles. The picture here is an athlete stripping himself down so that he can run well. In fact, the ancient Greek games were run all the way nude. They would strip completely down. I didn't know that until studying, but that's sickening in one point. But the point is, they would remove any bit of anything that could hold them back. Can you imagine a world-class athlete running with an overcoat? No. They shed everything. This speaks to the Christian runner as well. Did you know, listen, it's important. Did you know that you will still sin after you get saved? Or do you need me to tell you that? Or have you figured out already? After I got saved, I still sin. Yeah. Under heaven, surely not. Surely so. Saved, heaven bound. As old Mays Jackson said, with the hammer down. Absolutely. But I still struggle with sin. And by the way, don't tell nobody, Miss Connie, but you do too. You do. And sadly, they are people who believe and even preach and teach a sinless perfection. Oh, please. That's the biggest bunch of hogwash. Oh, there's no such thing. There's no such thing. You will still sin. You will still desire evil as a Christian. In fact, one of the biggest shocks of the Christian life is how easily you can sin after you've been saved. I remember being stunned after I was saved, having a bad thought and sinning and thinking, I thought I got saved from that. But you wasn't saved long before you realized this truth. You're still a sinner. You still got that old Adamic nature. You still have the flesh. Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body?" So my point, you know you can still sin even after saved, and that thought will still grow into a lust. The word may still slip out of your mouth, even though you saved. I've heard, and I'm not calling names, but I've heard people in this room, I'm trying not even to look at nobody right now. I've heard people in this room cuss. I've been eyeball to eyeball with some people in this room and cussed. Some were before I was a preacher. I better hush. Some were right after they smacked my face. Some were after I was saved and a preacher, and even preface it by, "I know you the preacher, but..." I'm like, if you can think enough to say, "I know you the preacher," you can think enough to stick something in your mouth and hush. My point is, if you had a problem cussing before you were saved, that seed is still down in you, and just being saved don't solve that from ever even coming out your mouth again. Are you hearing me? Say, what's the... Listen, I'm simply saying, that old anger may flare up out of control. Your attitude might get rotten again. Being saved doesn't prevent you from sinning, but your sinning does prevent you from running this race well. We are told that those besetting sins, those things that are of a particular problem for us as individuals, must be dealt with. We are to remove ourselves from their presence. Get away from them. Get away from where they can take place. Remove yourself. Guard yourself against their attack. Get radically honest about your sin to yourself. We've become professionals at hiding sin from others. Just shake your little head this way. You real good at camouflaging your sin so others don't see it. We've by nature done that. We've learned how to maneuver our sins around people so they don't see it or notice it. In doing so, we've camouflaged them from our own selves, and we don't even realize they're sin anymore. We've learned to live with them. Dr. Ed McAbee used to preach a message. It was one of the most powerful messages I ever heard when I heard it. It's still a powerful message. But he preached a message on getting used to the dark. Yeah. And you know how your eyes will just adjust and you just get used to dark. You take a person out of light and set them in darkness, and it's a shock to the system. But that gradual darkening. And before you know it, you're just used to it. And Christians have gotten used to walking around so heavy laden with weight and sin that it's beset us. And that besetting has caused so much dysfunction and so much disgruntlement and so much distraction. Listen, I heard an old mechanic that got saved, and he had a mechanic's mouth. Brother Jeff, you ever heard of a mechanic's mouth? You ever had one? No, I'm just kidding. He had a foul mouth before he met Jesus. And after he was saved, he was still having problems with his mouth. He talked to his preacher about the problem, and the preacher came up with this plan. He said, every time you feel like using profanity, just sing a hymn instead. A few days later, the preacher stopped by the man's shop to see how things were going. And he asked, he said, hey, brother, how's it going? He said, oh, pretty good. He said, but I've sung every hymn I know and wrote three more. That's pretty true. It just illustrates the problem with us. We have a sin nature. But the Lord will help you conquer it. But we got to start with being honest about. We have no problem being honest about other sin. In doing so, we like to be honest about it so good, we'll even tell other people about it to show our honesty. Did you hear? Did you hear? I'm only going to tell you this because we need to pray for them. Yeah, you humble, honest devil. Listen, whether it's gossip or whether it's adultery, it's sin. And we're good at being honest about everybody's but our own. Amen. That's got to be inverted. We've got to learn to be honest about our own. And in so doing, let me give you we're about done this morning. Let me give you an earth-shattering revelation. If you will get honest about your sin, theirs will take care of themselves. You will be amazed at how little time you got to worry about other people's sin when you worry about yours. I'm going to deal with this tonight and running this race. Listen, the only way to overcome and avoid these obstacles is to get our eyes off other lanes and other runners and run our race. You will get down. You will get depressed watching everybody else. But we're to look unto Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher. Run our race. Paul didn't say, I have fought their fight. I have finished their course. He said, I finished my course. You have a course. You have a lane. And it's high time we get back to worrying and focusing on being faithful ourselves. Amen. Being honest with ourselves. If you don't leave with nothing this morning but this truth, leave with this truth. I've allowed things to get heavy in my life. I've allowed things to slow me down. I'm not running as fast as I want to. People who race, they do everything they can to lighten them cars. I mean, they will do without a lot of things just so they can be as light as possible, so they can go as fast as they can. You have to, in the Christian life, get lighter. go on a spiritual diet, lose some weight. Spiritually, I am not telling you to lose weight physically. That's between you, your husband or your wife, and your maker. I could care less about your size physically, but I do care about your size spiritually, because it's slowing you down, and it's such a hindrance and a holdback. I don't know how good we could be. I don't know how successful we could be if we would just learn today. I'm going to set some things aside today. I might not can beat it for life, but I'm at least going to live today in victory, and I'm going to learn to see what I can live without. I don't have to have all these additives. I don't have to have all these props. It requires preparation, and it requires patience. We're told to run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to stop right there. We'll pick up right there tonight. Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I spent too much time this morning dealing with this one issue, but I felt like I couldn't go any further. I felt like the Lord is speaking to my heart and to others in this race. We've got to come to a place of just getting honest with ourselves, getting honest with the Lord, saying, Lord, I've got some heavy burdens. I've got some habits. I've got some hang-ups. I need to give to you this morning. I don't know if I can live today without it, but if you'll help me, I will try. I know. I trust the Holy Spirit brought to your mind, brought to your memory what's heavy in your life. It may be a person. It may be a problem. It may be a possession. But honestly, honestly this morning, can you stand before God and say, I have nothing holding me back? What is it? What relationship do you have holding you back, discouraging you from being the Christian God wants you to be? Whatever it is, I trust you, laying aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Give it to the Lord and let the Lord take it from you and help you. And you'll find it's an encouraging thing to realize you've lost some weight. What you thought you couldn't live without, I promise you, He will fill with things that are way better. And it'll encourage you to see progress being made. It'll encourage you. As these are doing business, you come. You may be here this morning, never been saved. If you've never been saved, the whole weight of the world's on you. The whole weight of all the sin and guilt is upon you. You've never even entered this race. You're running your own. Looking unto Jesus, the author. He's the beginning. How do you get in this race? You trust Christ. Let Him take your sin. Let Him take your sorrow. He'll save you. Call unto Him. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. He'll save you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As we close this morning, are you satisfied with what you've allowed yourself to live with? Others are coming. Listen, I didn't come to get done this morning. I did come with the heavy heart that God would deliver some of us from some things. We could lighten the load and be the Christian God wants us to be. Would you come? As these are praying, you come do business with the Lord. Lord, help us. come back tonight, as these are finishing praying tonight, we're going to look at not only how to commit our life to faithful running, but how to commit our life to focused running, and how to commit our life to fulfilled running. There is a fulfillment in this race that can only be found in the Lord. And we'll look at that this evening. Let's bow our heads and we'll close in a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. The name is above every name. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, that you'd take our scattered words and stammering lips, Lord, and speak to your people, God. I ask you, Lord, that your word would find lodging place in our hearts, Lord. Help us to receive that you've given us this morning with thanksgiving. I pray you'd be with each family, God, every soul, God, that has come into the house of God this morning. Lord, speak to us and help us, Lord, to leave out of here, God, with more than we came with. God, I ask you, Lord, you'd help us all return tonight. I pray you'd be with us throughout the day, and we'll thank you in Christ's name. Amen. God bless you.